It's great to be here. We got through the rain and the bad weather. I felt sorry for the people at the roundabout planting plants. So we're better off in here. So here we go. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, party officers, ladies and gentlemen. Following on from our party president, he talked a lot about the truth and about the lies that have been peddled to all of us. As is my tradition, I'm going to start off with a quotation. It's from the Spanish novelist Cervantes, author of Don Quixote and others. And it's as follows. The truth may be stretched thin, but it never breaks. And it always surfaces above lies, as oil floats on water. And I think that's very apt today. On Monday, the 5th of October, I sat in PSNI headquarters as part of a TUV delegation with our party leader, Jim Allister, and Rick Kearns. The purpose of that meeting was very clear. In the aftermath of Kevin McGuigan's murder by the IRA, we wanted to ascertain the motives behind the shooting and clarify the present paramilitary potential of the Republican movement. Furthermore, in addition to the general overview and evaluation, we also sought clarification on the makeup of their military structures, an estimation of their stockpile of weapons, and whether or not they had, as alleged, brought a significant number of handguns in from Florida, courtesy of a certain Spike Murray, who the chief constable had met the week before in West Belfast. We also asked if the pistol used by the IRA murder squad was indeed one of that recent batch. Repeatedly, we were told to almost all of our probing questions to the chief constable that he couldn't answer anything like we were asking because that would prejudice the upcoming report. At the time, it seemed like a convenient defence mechanism, deflecting any requests to reveal anything we could use in the media to confirm what everyone else now knows, namely that IRA Sinn Féin were responsible for McGuigan's murder, just in the same way they were responsible for the Northern Bank robbery, the callous and brutal murder of Paul Quinn, and the slaying of Robert McCartney in Belfast city centre, to name just a few, amongst a long and shameful list of the other thousands they have murdered and maimed after meticulous and careful planning by their so-called Army Council. The much-lauded report eventually did come out a fortnight later, on the 19th of October, and confirmed not only the existence of the IRA, but provided several key judgments. First and foremost, all the paramilitaries who were active in the so-called Troubles are still in existence, namely the IRA, INLA, UVF, Red Hand Commando, and the UDA. 2.7 admits not all weapons were decommissioned and confirmed some members have procured small numbers of firearms. This throws up an obvious question. If a terrorist organization has not put all of its munitions behind use and is actively adding to its arsenal, then how on earth can they be judged to be committed to exclusively democratic and peaceful means? And worse was to come. Point 12 stated, IRA structures remain in place, the Army Council oversees the organisation, and they continue to have access to weapons. Point 13, provisional IRA members believe the Army Council oversees both the IRA and Sinn Féin with an overarching strategy. This confirmation from MI5 and the PSNI was long overdue, despite protestations from Jerry and Martin that the IRA had left the stage and Big Bobby's assertion that they had miraculously morphed into butterflies. Ladies and gentlemen, the cold hard facts remain. They are still up to their necks in smuggling, extortion, and of course, murder. Approximately an hour after the report, the DUP announced it was re-entering the executive bed with the IRA Army Council's underlings. That same executive bed, dripping with the blood of innocents and saturated with the tears of victims. The Smash Sinn Féin party brought shame, not just to their own party and unionism in general, but to the very central tenets of democracy and the protection of the rule of law in particular. This vital precedent has now been set in stone. It is now an indisputable fact that an armed IRA Sinn Féin movement sits in the executive of Northern Ireland, directed by their army council, and can smuggle, extort, and murder without any sanction. I say shame on anyone sustaining such base immorality. The recent tragic events in Paris show us all terrorism in its true cowardly light. The only difference between terrorism in Paris and here in Northern Ireland is merely one of scale. ISIS and the IRA have both used the same tactics, resulting in the same horrific outcomes to their incessant and dogged pursuit of objectives, which the vast majority of their fellow citizens have and thankfully continue to reject. In closing, ladies and gentlemen, I believe the people of Northern Ireland need the truth. The people of Northern Ireland need justice for victims and punishment for the perpetrators. And to continue, the people of Northern Ireland want rid of those who continue to turn a blind eye to terrorism and the corruption of democracy. But most of all, in short, the people of Northern Ireland need the TUV. Thank you.
Second up, with the title TUV Vindicated, is a Banside pool topper, our own councillor Timothy Gaston.
Mr. Chairman, officers, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for the kind, hearty, warm welcome I've received here today. It's great to be in South Antrim. South Antrim is a real key target seat for us in May for the upcoming Stormont elections. What a year it has been for TUV. Where do I begin? Councillor Cooper has already highlighted the key issues that have arisen from the paramilitary support conference. I asked you, did the revelation that the IRA was still in existence shock you? Did the revelation that the Provo Army Council directed Sinn Féin come as a surprise to any of you? Did you believe that the IRA had fully decommissioned all its weapons and had become these so-called peaceful butterflies that are going to fly away? Ladies and gentlemen, thank God TUV never swallowed the lies. We have always maintained that the IRA were still in existence, that they still had access to weaponry, and that Sinn Féin were simply the pawn of the IRA Army Council. This report is vindication for all that TUV has stood for, that Sinn Féin are still not fit for government. They were unfit. They were unfit in 1998. My goodness, they were unfit in 2007. But dear oh dear, wake up, they are still unfit for government in 2015. People might listen to this speech today and say that TUV are gloating. Let me tell you, folks, there's nothing to gloat about that we have an armed, an active IRA Army Council sitting in the heart of our government. For me as a young unionist, it is quite embarrassing that other unionist parties have either swallowed their lives or indeed helped peddle them. I take no enjoyment from reporting these truths. It's only TUV's duty to be honest with the people of Northern Ireland, and I can say, hand on heart, that's what TUV has done since we were formed in 2007. As already outlined for you today, it was confirmed that the IRA are still in existence, still operational. That begs the question, folks, why are they still in government today as we meet here in South Antrim? You will hear much made of the fact that Sinn Féin have a mandate. Yes, they have a mandate to the Assembly, but no party short of having an overall majority can have a mandate of right to be in our government. If a unionist party had a backbone, they would withdraw their support for undemocratic institutions and ensure Sinn Féin are no longer allowed to exercise their wreckers' mandate here in the heart of our government. It's a sad reality that today, after all we have heard, all our unionist parties have given Sinn Féin yet again another get-out-of-jail-free card. Gregory Campbell, he summed it all up how low it all has sunk. When asked why, after all the posturing they still sit in government with Sinn Féin and IRA, he said, because we can't get them out. Oh, Gregory, that is false. But it reveals the DUP mindset. Other unionist parties covet political office so much that they would sacrifice their very own principles just to remain in power. TUV say that is unacceptable. TUV say there is a better way. In 2007, when this party was formed, we did that. Not to seek power for ourselves, but to stand up for the right of everybody in Northern Ireland to have a democratic government. The right for everybody to have institutions that were based in democratic norms. Having a government of the willing instead of a forced government. Having an opposition to hold those in government to account. Only then we will have stable and durable devolution that will deliver for the people of Northern Ireland. Friends, TUV was not just vindicated by the paramilitary report. We have been vindicated on a day and daily basis when people look at the shambles of the government we have up on the funny farm in that hill. We have mapped out why Stormont will continue to lurch from one crisis to the next, and later on we will map out how we will move forward. Mr. Chairman, there's no doubt TUV has made positive contributions to Northern Ireland. We are making a difference to the lives of the many people where we have been given the opportunity to do so. Our party leader, Jim Allister, has put his arm to the wheel, or shoulder to the wheel, for 5 years in Stormont so that people know what TUV is about. TUV is about hard work and dedication to the cause. But it's down to the people in this room to ensure we get the electoral rewards that we so deserve. Friends, we all have a part to play. We all have to put our shoulder to the wheel to get multiple TUV MLAs elected right across Northern Ireland. Hear, hear. Yes, Jim Allister has done a superb job, but think of what multiple TUV MLAs could achieve and the accountability that will bring to our government. My challenge to you all is to raise the funds, put in the groundwork, and let the road to Stormont 2016 officially start here today. Thank you very much, Conference.
Thank you very much, Timothy. Now to speak to reviewed the economy and agriculture, a man who's involved in dairy farming himself. I believe we're right in saying a former Royal Irish Regiment soldier with Afghanistan experience, and our candidate for East London Dairy, Jordan Armstrong.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and ladies and gentlemen. It's great to be here with you today, for frankly, I think I've drawn the short straw. The subject which I've been assigned to speak about today is, I'm afraid to say, it's a depressing one. Unfortunately, it's all that more depressing because of the refusal of the powers that be to face up to the reality of the challenges facing our traders, manufacturers, and our agri-food workers. Well, so we could go today, the Enterprise Minister, Jonathan Bell, to another conference. Don't let anybody tell you that manufacturing Northern Ireland is in a difficult position. Well, Mr. Bell, explain your comments to the workers at GTI Gallagher's, Schrader Electronics, Shorts, Sirocco, Caterpillar, Invista, and just recently, the staff at Michelin. I also, as we heard yesterday, the DRD minister has a bit of an explaining to do, bypassing highly skilled innovators such as Wrightbus, handing a lucrative contract of $19 million to a foreign consortium, and commented, and Ballymena or Wrightbus had commented they could reduce this contract a year earlier and save money to the taxpayer. Michelle must also share the same opinion as Mr. Bell that manufacturing is in difficulty. But here are some statistics. In total, 2,500 high value manufacturing jobs have been lost in the last year. Minister Bell, 2,500 workers, unlike you, cannot deny the reality of pressures on manufacturing. They have to confront the fact of no wage at the end of the month, of a family to provide for, a mortgage to pay, and to keep a car on the road. Sadly, jobs have been lost from successful companies, which have been vital to our economy. Yet, Enterprise Minister comes out with words of denial. There's nothing to worry about. Denial has seemed to become a common trait of the DUP. And they have shown that by acting as if they deny the existence of the IRA Army Council. And what was the reason for Michelin closing? It wasn't, as some would suggest, high corporation tax. Frankly, no one in the executive seems to have any idea how to help the economy other than lowering corporation tax. But that wasn't the issue here. The issue with Michelin was high energy prices. Stephen Kelly, Chief Executive of Manufacturing NI, commented, "Energy is the third largest input cost for businesses after labour and material costs. And many Northern Ireland manufacturers suffered the second most expensive electricity in Europe." The TUV warned of the dangers to Michelin 3 years ago when our leader said the following, "The facts are indisputable. Since the executive committed us to the all-island single electricity market, our prices have diverged from the lower GB prices to align more with the higher Republic of Ireland prices." Why? Because, in a large measure, we are subsidising the Republic's highly inefficient and costly generation and transmission systems. Competitive energy prices, they are imperative for a high consumption operator like Michelin. Thus, every penny in the unit of price of electricity makes a huge difference. These high electricity prices are placing Michelin at Ballymena at a disadvantage in its internal competition with other Michelin plants and external competition. And this single transferable speech on corporation tax just doesn't cut it. And importantly, it ignores the fact that if we cut the level of corporation tax in Northern Ireland, we will also, as a result of EU law, have to see a corresponding cut to our block grant, meaning less money for our schools, less money for our hospitals, and less money for our roads. But if even if that wasn't the case, who in their right mind would be dream of granting Stormont, which has made a mess of the many powers that they've already had, fiscal powers? We need to see quality jobs attracted to Northern Ireland. We are losing these well-paid jobs, and if they are replaced at all, replaced with call centre jobs. And even then, Invest NI seems incapable of seeing the importance of attracting jobs or proactively seeking foreign direct investment in manufacturing. These are the words from Invest NI. They do not consider Northern Ireland to have a competitive advantage. This is not the attitude we need to retain high-value jobs. Our agriculture sector has also had its fair share of difficulties. And the shackles of Europe has done nothing more to help to ease this burden. The beef and sheep industry are experiencing difficulties with an oversupply of produce, which is pushing down their price or their value of their product. The Ulster Farmers Union commented that opening new export markets outside of Europe is crucial to help absorb any oversupply and help add financial value to red meat produce. The ongoing difficulty within the dairy sector has seen farmers hit with great financial pressure due to the drop in milk price. And the financial package that farmers are soon to receive came with much difficulty due to EU bureaucracy. And as UK taxpayers, we pay $19 billion per annum straight into Brussels. And the legislation to allow farmers their payment comes only through Brussels. EU membership robbing us of the ability to make our own decisions and helping our farmers difficult for our decisions and helping our farmers during difficult times such as this. Some talk about EU entitlements to farming. That is nonsense. The UK only gets back a fraction of what is paid into Europe. It isn't Europe's money. It's a very tiny amount of our own money back. Those entitlements could not only be replaced, but made more generous, and if paid by our own national government, free from Brussels. Farming and the resulting agri-food industry is essential to our economic success. With the current focus on going for growth, remember that we do not have the ability to strike up our own deals outside of Europe. That is left to the EU Trade Commissioner. That the EU Trade Commissioner acts as the negotiator for our economic growth in this country. This is taking such key decisions out of our hands is beyond belief. As a whole, the farming sector would avail of a more generous package outside of Europe. It will allow us access to more markets to export to. Under our agreements, develop a strong export strategy under our control. We can also reduce the burden of red tape under our authority and providing emergency help when essential with our legislation. The TUV is an unapologetically a friend of the farming community. And in this industry, as in others, we will be better off out of Europe. Thank you.
Jordan. Well done. Now, Ruth, no pressure on you, but everybody so far has done very well. On the subject of health, which Ruth has many, many years' experience working in the health service, and she has a lot of material to work off to support you in health services in a bit of a mess. I give you our sitting councillor, but also our candidate for East Antrim, Ruth Wilson.
Mr. Chairman, thank you for your very warm welcome. It is a pleasure to be able to stand and address many friends and colleagues. My name is Ruth Wilson. I was elected in May 2014 to represent the Larne area, and I'm here today to talk about a subject close to my heart, health and our National Health Service. I've worked in the NHS for 30 years and know only too well that what is at stake. We must ensure the Assembly get to grip with the mammoth task of getting it working for us all as and when we require it. The NHS is currently under great pressure and faces many threats. Firstly, there's the cuts. The NHS is precious, it is free at the point of use, and everybody should have reasonable access to it. I believe in universal health care, but that health care has to provide for those who need it. If it doesn't, then we experience unacceptable pain and suffering throughout our whole community. The pressures at present are created by lack of investment, understaffing, bureaucracy, for example, mountains of paperwork, time and effort by frontline staff in producing target and performance related information, poor planning and a lack of support. EU directives, they also add an extra layer of bureaucracy to an already ailing system. Last year at this very conference we talked about how successive DUP health ministers had let down patients, and instead of shouldering the blame they pointed fingers at the health trusts. Well, this year we have a new minister in Simon Hamilton, but he has continued in the same vein as his predecessors in cutting services and blaming others. Just last weekend, A&E services were cut at the Mater Hospital, which is a first step in removing the range of critical care services at another of our key sites. This will lead to even longer waiting lists for A&E and inpatient treatment. Residential care homes, staff, and most importantly, the residents, are still under threat. We need to make this clear. The closure agenda is still at the heart of the Minister's plans. These care homes are essential. The announcement this week of the closure of Four Seasons private nursing homes focuses our attention that we cannot rely on the private sector, as they can disappear overnight. This time the Minister is forced into another U-turn, having to look at the retention of essential NHS nursing homes. The state sector should provide stable and caring homes, which are based on the needs of our population, not on profit-making. The great thing about the NHS is that you and I should have access to it when we need it. Some people need it more than others, but when you do need it, it should be there for you. When services are removed, downgraded, or under so much pressure that they cannot function, then they're no longer accessible. Secondly, waiting lists. The shocking revelation that some patients are waiting 18 months to get a hospital appointment is indicative of the failings of this government. In England, the target from referral to treatment is 18 weeks. in Northern Ireland 18 months. That is absurd, embarrassing, and most importantly, dangerous. Waiting time figures of 18 months will leave people in pain, deterioration in their condition, or even worse. Why has this been allowed to happen? In most countries, when there is a strain on waiting lists, either you get the surgeons and other staff to work at weekends, or you use the private sector to reduce the waiting lists. Already we hear stories of people being in so much pain that they pay to go private, in some cases having to borrow money. That is not what should happen. I repeat, the NHS is under threat. Then there is the provision of the air ambulance for Northern Ireland. During the summer, we witnessed the tragic death of Dr. John Hines, a dedicated and skilled doctor who campaigned tirelessly for an air ambulance service for Northern Ireland. The legacy of Dr. Hines should be a dedicated air ambulance service for Northern Ireland. I attended a presentation with Jim and other colleagues given at Stormont. This highlighted the shameful fact that the only black spot for air ambulance provision in the British Isles is Northern Ireland. Lives are being lost each year, which could be saved by the early intervention of a doctor-led air ambulance. The public have had their say, but we get weasel words from the Health Minister on introducing such a service. TUV will campaign alive, keep this campaign alive, and we encourage others to join with us. Finally, transforming your care. A lot has been said about transforming your care. It was sold as an idea which provided those using the health service with a choice. If you wanted care provided in your home, then there would be resources allocated to meet that demand. These resources have not been realised, but still the residential care is being decimated. This produces more blocking of acute beds and ill patients being discharged prematurely. Transforming your care has been transformed into closing your care. Closing of A&E units forcing increased dependency on under-pressure units, closure of respite units, closures of hospitals and removal of children's cardiac services from the province altogether. It is shameful that all this is under attack. TUV know what the NHS means to you and your families. We pledge to stand with you to defend it with all our strength and determination. In the words of Benjamin Disraeli, the health of the people is really the foundation upon which all their happiness and all their powers as a state depend. Thank you very much. Thank you.